Welcome to the Alpha Female Podcast. I'm Robin Pino, formerly known as Baldwin, an essential oil educator, blogger, author, yoga teacher, MS thriver, and newly twin mama. Each week, I'll bring you a guest or a show that will inspire you to embrace living like an alpha female. We'll guide you to create more work-life harmony for yourself, discover tips and tricks to achieve your goals and dreams, all while taking the best care of yourself. Now, on with the show. This show is brought to you by doTERRA Essential Oils. As an essential oil educator, I partnered with doTERRA in 2016 to diversify my income with them. I was drawn to the oils a few years before when I was diagnosed with MS and gifted an introductory kit with lemon, peppermint, and lavender essential oil. At the time, as I was learning to live with MS, I knew I needed to get better quality and quantity of sleep. So I started using lavender in my Epsom salt baths every night to signal to my body that it was time to go to sleep, and the rest is history. I educated myself on the potency, purity, testing, and sourcing practices and discovered the company's heart of gold. So I'd like to do the same for you. I send out samples to anyone who has not yet tried doTERRA oils and you don't yet have a shopping account with them. So find me on Instagram. My new Instagram handle is at Robin Pino, and that's P-I-N-E-A-U-L-T. Send me a DM saying I'd love to try some oils, and then let me know one health pain point you're trying to solve. Send me your shipping address from there, and then I'll pop a care package in the mail for you. You are listening to the Alpha Female Podcast, episode 182. All links and show notes can be found over at robinbaldwin.com/podcast. Today, you get me for another solo episode. I promised I would share our IUI story and some fertility resources to make this episode as useful as possible. So let's get right into it and let's see if I can make it a quickie. So my husband and I conceived our twins via IUI, or intrauterine insemination. So sexy. And when we announced that we were one, pregnant, two, having twins, we also announced that we got pregnant via IUI. I wanted to make sure that I was being very open about it, because I think when women get fertility support, there is still a stigma that, you know, we are potentially less than because we needed assistance. But the amount of fertility issues that exist in the world today, and I believe are very strongly linked to toxin exposure as well as the overprescription of synthetic birth control, has created this, you know, perfect storm for our female bodies. And we need a little help. We need help regulating. And some people are able to do it naturally. You know, they may take the time to do the preconception planning that we've been talking about on the show, getting their body back to homeostasis. And then there are others like me that need a little bit more help. And we did that with the Ottawa Fertility Clinic. So let me share a little bit more about that journey. I've been getting lots of questions about it, and so I want to make this as useful as possible, but I'll also share the story so you can kind of understand what went on. So my husband and I had been trying for a full year when we started the fertility testing. So in July of 2019, we started getting tested. So we had been married for almost a year. We got married in August of 2018. We had started trying right away on the honeymoon. So after the full year, we started getting all the blood tests done, and that took a while. So during this time, I also started working with a fertility naturopath in Ottawa. And I won't name her because I will not recommend her because of things that she recommended during the IUI cycle, and I'll get into that. So she gave me a new supplement protocol. She also was administering acupuncture. I think we were doing it once a week at the beginning. And then we were actually once a month at the beginning, and then leading up to October 2019, we were doing it weekly. So we were doing it for, one, increasing blood flow in my body, and two, to decrease stress. So we were doing very specific acupuncture ports for stress. At the time that all of this was going on, I was working in a very toxic environment that I have not talked about publicly, but I was working at a marketing agency and the environment in the agency was extremely toxic. And I won't get more into it because I just don't want to make that the focus of the show, but I know that my stress is really high. So taking a look at where the stress factors come in, I was trying really, really hard to mitigate the stress, but every single day I would go into fight and flight syndrome, survive the day. And it wasn't necessarily bad, but there were so many things that just added up that I was leaving work sometimes on a daily basis and going home crying. And I know I wasn't in a good environment. So, we made some very big decisions about getting me out of there. And funny enough, I've shared on my blog that the day I signed a new contract to move our family out to the West Coast, to Vancouver Island, to take a new job, 4 days later, we found out we were pregnant. And I don't think that that was coincidental. I really, truly believe that that had a lot to do with our ability to conceive, was, making sure that I was getting myself out of a situation that was not serving me. So we've been trying for the year. Nothing was going on. I was following my cycles. I'd learned, when to have sex. It became so clinical. And again, a lot of people don't talk about this, but, you have this window of opportunity where you learn that, within these 5 days, you could potentially ovulate. And some people have sex every single day. Some people have sex every other day because it becomes so clinical. It's like, okay, it's not romantic. It is not romantic. It comes to a point, you try so hard, but then it's like, we just need to have sex tonight. And if you're exhausted or you're not feeling it, and it becomes very clinical. And then that's really trying on the relationship and trying on even just yourself, and frustration, exhaustion. And then, there's grief if your period comes, and there's just so many things wrapped up in it. So as we start doing the testing, we discover that, the whisper of PCOS that I had been diagnosed with in 2016 really was something that I should have looked into. And so I had multiple follicles on my ovaries. I didn't have any hormone imbalances in terms of the Rotterdam criteria. So the Rotterdam criteria looks for estrogen and testosterone imbalances, and I didn't have any of those issues. So when the doctor diagnosed me with PCOS and we went and did the blood test, he was like, oh no, you don't fit the criteria. You're also, not overweight. You don't have extra hair growth on your chin. Like these certain characteristics that are very much identified with PCOS. But when we looked at the hormones, I had, and I've shared this on the podcast, I had a higher LH than FSH. So LH is the luteinizing hormone, and it signals to your body that you're ovulating. So you'll hear about women peeing on pee strips to figure out when they're ovulating. And when, the blue line appears, it's the second blue line on the pee strips, you're ovulating, you better get into the sac and make a baby. And I would pee on the pee strips and I would have this, second line pretty much my whole cycle. So we were like, I don't understand. Do we need to have sex the entire month? When am I really ovulating? We couldn't figure it out. So I was tracking my basal body temperature. I was doing the thermometer, and then I started doing the bracelet, and we could kind of figure out when I was ovulating. But because my LH hormone was always so high, we didn't actually know when my body was actually ovulating. And so that was our issue. And so I went to the fertility clinic, and they actually didn't discover this. So they did all of the standard tests and they're like, you have unexplained infertility. But when my naturopath took a look at my blood work, she said, you don't have unexplained fertility. You have a hormonal imbalance. So we had gone in for an appointment. I think it was the second appointment. The first one was to get the results and to discuss our options. We went back in to discuss, how we wanted to proceed. And that's when I brought up the hormone imbalance, and the OBGYN that we were seeing at the time was like, oh, that's interesting. Okay, well, that will dictate, what medication we offer you. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, that's weird that I need to bring it up. So it just goes back to showing you that like you really need to advocate for yourself. You need to build a healthcare team around you. Don't just trust one practitioner because everyone has their biases and everyone, you know, is taught, look for this and then treat this. So if you have a team around you, then you can have different opinions to inform the bigger picture is what I'm saying. So tip number one, build a healthcare team. And I truly recommend, you know, if you've been dealing with infertility, then a fertility clinic, OBGYN, your family doctor is on your side, a fertility naturopath, acupuncturist, and I would highly recommend talk therapy throughout this entire time. I wasn't doing talk therapy during this because it was one extra thing. It was almost too much, but I do regret not having that support. You know, I was prioritizing getting blood tests done, going to the fertility clinic, which is a lot of appointments. We'll get into that. And to add another talk therapy appointment on top of it was just too much. So I had made the decision, but I regret that. So learn from me. And if you can manage it within the amount of appointments, what's great now with the pandemic is that so many practitioners are doing virtual appointments. So it's much easier to schedule. All right. A bonus from 2020. All right. So when we went into the fertility clinic after all of this testing, and after discovering that I had the LH-FSH imbalance, they offered us different options. The first one being IUI, which is the least invasive procedure, and IVF, which is more invasive. So what we decided to do is to go ahead and try IUI first off, and some of the treatment is covered financially by our government. The only thing that wasn't covered were the fertility drugs. And so that was out of pocket. In terms of the IVF procedure, well, there is government funding here. I believe it's different by province, but in Ontario, there is government funding. You have to apply and there's a wait period. So I believe in the Ottawa Fertility Clinic, the wait was, I think, like a year and a half or something like that. So we put our names on the list, applied for funding, and said, in the meantime, we'll do an IUI. And this was, I think this was like at the end of September. And I had said that I want to try one more time, one more month. I'd been working with the naturopath for a few months now. I wanted to try one more month to conceive naturally. So if we started working together in July, I had, you know, August on the new supplementation plan, September, and then October. So October was the third month. And if it didn't work in October, I would consider fertility clinic help. And I did everything. And the fertility naturopath said, you know, like, this is only 90 days. We might need a little bit more time to optimize your health. And in the world of optimizing your health holistically and naturally, you have to have patience. You have to have time. I of all people understand this, especially with my MS journey. In terms of bringing myself, my inflammation down and bringing myself back into good health, it took time. It took years, and I didn't have the patience anymore in the fertility journey. I, you know, was well over the age of 35. I was being called a geriatric pregnancy or a geriatric pregnancy candidate, which is absolutely horrible language to tell any 35-year-old. And that was really stressful. I felt less than. I felt that because of my age, we were struggling. And that was really, really frustrating. So I, you know, wanted to get pregnant yesterday. And I was trying to do everything I possibly could to optimize my health, optimize my husband's health so that we were both in this together. And even just those last 3 months before we decided to do the IUI seemed like forever. And in the grand scheme of things, I know 3 months isn't very long, but when you're in the midst of it, it feels like an eternity. So I was taking all the supplements. I was reducing my stress. I was meditating. I was journaling. I was working out a little less hardcore than I had before. I was going on more walks. starting to take HIIT classes again at an amazing gym in Ottawa that I miss very dearly, Third Line Fitness. They called it Farm Fitness because the property is on a farm. And I actually truly believe that was one of the things that helped with my health, was moving my body 3 times a week there and intense, but not too intense workouts, which was really great because I got the blood flow going, got my heart rate up, giving me the ability to sweat out some toxins. So I really, really believe in movement, not as hardcore as I might have been doing in the past. So I was, you know, an obstacle course racer and a fitness competitor before that. And I was used to working out twice a day, pushing myself on runs. And I really had to take a step back and be kinder to my body and make working out more of a relaxing thing than trying to push my boundaries thing. And that was, I believe, really key in being able to conceive. So October comes around, we're doing all the things, I'm doing weekly acupuncture, I'm also going to the fertility clinic for testing. What was nice was the fertility clinic was on my way to work. So I would go in for very, very early appointments. I think it was like 7 a.m. for blood work or ultrasound. And then I would get into the office around 8 a.m., which was early because I think 8:30 was the time when a lot of people would get into the office, and then 9 was, you know, the regular start day. So I was still getting into the office very early, which was nice. I was the only one there, so I could get some work done. And it was key to me being able to de-stress as well. So our office was very, very loud, very bustling all the time, which was also very stressful for me because I don't work well in loud environments. And I remember nearing the end of the month, my potential period was coming up, and at the fertility clinic, they had said, you know, if you want to do an IUI cycle, we'll see if you're able to conceive naturally this month, but you'll need to make a decision. So on day one of your period, if you do want to do an IUI round, you'll have to call to start the process. And I said, okay, I took all of the information. And then lo and behold, at the end of October, my period came. So in the midst of tears, my husband and I had to make a really fast decision whether or not we were going to do IUI in November. And we said, you know, like, why not? Let's just do it. So I called the fertility clinic on the first day of my period. I think I had gone into the bath to relax because my cramps are always really, really strong on my first day. Got out of the bath and called the fertility clinic to get started. And so this then triggered testing. Like daily monitoring appointments and the IVF drugs. So because my LH hormone, luteinizing hormone, was higher than my FSH or follicle stimulating hormone at the beginning of the cycle, they decided to prescribe me with IVF drugs for the IUI. So there's a drug that you can take that will help develop your follicles on your ovaries, which will hopefully contain eggs when you're ready to ovulate. And you can just take this drug and then potentially try to conceive naturally, i.e. via sex. Or you can take drugs that will specifically trigger ovulation, and they can do the IUI with the insemination device, which I like to call the turkey baster. So there's two different ways that you can try to conceive. So you can try to conceive with the assistance of hormonal drugs that create the most, you know, perfect, quote unquote, perfect cycle. And then if you try naturally on your own, it doesn't work, then you can try the IUI way. So we wanted to set up as much as possible for success. So we took the IVF drugs that were prescribed to us. And I don't remember the names, but I remember taking an injection, so an FSH injection, to help stimulate my follicles at the beginning. So I was doing the injections in my abdomen every single day for a while, and then going in, and they were monitoring the growth of the follicles on my ovaries. And I had two follicles that were growing really, really well throughout the process. And they were like, they both got to a certain size where they were viable. Lo and behold, those two follicles were eggs that became the twins. So this is why they tell you at the beginning of the process that you might conceive multiples, especially if you develop more than one follicle that is of substantial size. So we're going through the process. I'm getting monitored daily ultrasounds. I have never had an ultrasound wand shoved up my vagina so many times, but it works for a reason. They monitor the follicles, but everything's coming to size, and they're like, "This is great. You're doing blood work as well to see where your hormones are at the beginning of your cycle." And then, based on the follicles developing, they said, "You know what? I think we're ready to trigger ovulation." So to do that, they then prescribe you with an ovulation injection. It's called Ovidrol or something like that. And you're to take it, I think it was like 11 p.m. at night, and we did it on a Friday night. So you take the ovulation injection, and then 48 hours later, they do the insemination. So for us, that was a Sunday morning. And I believe the day before, my husband went in, jerked off in a cup. So sexy. And they then wash the sperm. So you pay for a sperm wash, which is out of pocket. It's not covered by the government here in Canada. You pay for that, and then you pay for all of the fertility drugs. So we paid for all of the injections, the FSH injections, and then the ovulation injections. And then after the IUI, you do progesterone. Suppositories, which you push up your vagina. I'm going to have to put explicit episode on this one. And I think I've added up the cost. It's not at the top of my mind, and due to sleep deprivation, I can't remember, but it's definitely in the thousands, at least in Canada, in Ontario. I don't know what the figures are elsewhere. So Sunday morning, we went in, and they take you into a room, and you lie on the table. They bring in they ask you all these questions, and they bring in the test tube with your partner's washed sperm and his name, his name is on it. And they show it to you so you can confirm, because the other thing that happened is there was so much stress around, like, what if they get the wrong sperm? There was all this talk about, like, really weird cases. I think in the US where, like, a fertility doctor was inseminating his patients with his own sperm. There was just all these horror stories, and we were like freaking out about that. But, you know, Mike's name was on the test tube with his sperm, and you lie on the table. And it's basically a catheter. It's not a turkey baster, but they insert a catheter. So they try to inject the sperm as high up into your uterus as possible. And then hopefully the sperm will find the egg, or in my case, eggs, plural. When they did the ultrasound later, they saw corpus callosums on both ovaries, which were the two follicles that had grown the largest. They both ovulated and both had eggs. And that's where the two babies came from. And that's how you get fraternal twins, is from two different eggs. But it was kind of crazy. I remember our nurse so well. We had Eastern European accent. She was very matter of fact. I was trying to make jokes the entire time. I asked Mike if he could hold my hand. So there was some sort of physical intimacy between the two of us as we were doing it. And I remember her saying, you should go home and have sex. It increases your chances. And I was like, okay. I actually had plans that day to go for a hike with my friend and coworker, Susie,
And I laugh so hard thinking back on it because I remember showing up at her house and she's like, how are you? I'm like, good. I just got inseminated. And I think those are the words that I used. And she was like, what? I'm like, just had a fertility treatment. She just kept looking at me. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I needed to tell someone. I had gone to Le Nordique with one of my friends, Jess. I think it was like the day before, and I had shared kind of all of my fears and frustrations with her. So only a few people in my life, two of my best friends knew that this was happening. But I didn't tell a lot of people. I didn't share it on social media. I usually share things, but like, I didn't want to talk about it until I had gone through it. And also I didn't want to talk about it until we were successful. This is why there's, you know, so much secrecy or privacy around a fertility journey. Is like, you, I don't know, you just don't want to talk about it because you don't want to share your grief as you're going through it with the world. It's just a little too much. So, Susie and I went for a hike later that day. I actually think, you know, like moving my body, getting the blood flow going was very helpful. And then, Mike and I had sex later that night. So, we also joke around that like maybe one of the twins was conceived via the IUI, the turkey baster sperm. And then like maybe the other twin was conceived naturally via sex that night. So that's why when we announced it, we kind of joked that like they were conceived via IUI, wink, wink, or were they? And we'll never know. So, then you start taking the progesterone suppositories to, help your body, get pregnant, stay pregnant. And I actually did 3 months of the progesterone suppositories. They asked me if I wanted more than, yes, it was three rounds. So they asked me if I wanted more than one box. I think one box is 1 month. And I think that is normally what most people on a fertility journey IUI procedure will get. So that was, the procedure was done November 17th. And I took one round up until, middle of December. And then we went on, a holiday. We went down to the Dominican Republic for Christmas. So I asked for another box. So I took a box with me. That was month two. And that took me to the middle of, January. And then I brought another third box with me to Port Alberni. So that was the third round. I had actually asked for more. It's not a fertility clinic's prerogative to prescribe more. They only usually prescribe at most three rounds. I had wanted to like take the progesterone suppository like up until the end of first trimester because I was terrified of having a miscarriage. They normally only suggest one round. They did three for me because my mom had miscarried before. So there was just a history of miscarriage in our family. So that being said, that was the procedure. Those were the pharmaceutical drugs or synthetic hormones that I took to be able to fall pregnant, stay pregnant. But I just wanted to share some of the percentages. So when we were deciding whether or not to do the IUI, we were told that at our fertility clinic, I think it was only a 19% success rate. And then we were also told the percent chances of having multiples. So I don't remember the triplets or more, but the chance to conceive twins was 15% at the clinic. And this is obviously based on the numbers of patients they treat. So 15% likely to conceive twins, 19% likely to have a successful IUI. So when you think about that, those chances are really, really low. And when I decided to share on Instagram our story, I got a lot of questions about, you know, how do I have a successful IUI? And I then wrote a blog post called Why I Can't Give You Advice on Your IUI Cycle, because I was feeling such an immense pressure to, you know, give advice on something that is, you know, so individual and so personal. And, you know, I can share that I went to see a fertility naturopath. I can share about going for acupuncture treatments. I can share what supplements I was taking, but our bodies are so bio-individual. And, you know, there are so many different things that affect a fertility journey, from state of mind, mindset, nutrition, and all of that, that I can't tell you how to have a successful IUI cycle. I can only share tips and tricks that you can decide to incorporate into your life. So here are the resources that I'll share so that you can look into them more for yourself if you are in a fertility journey and deciding to do an IUI cycle. So it's the healthcare team that I mentioned before, really, really working on your stress management. So figuring out whether it's a morning routine, evening routine, daily, you know, things like remembering to take deep breaths throughout the day. What is it that is going to help you reduce your stress? Talk therapy, spa days with your girlfriend. What is that? And then having multiple opinions. So, you know, working with your family physician, fertility specialist, in terms of a fertility clinic will be an OBGYN, a fertility naturopath, like just having those different opinions to understand what underlying health issues you need to optimize, or decrease confusion in your body. And then from there, you know, there's a whole bunch of different supplements that you can take. And so things to consider that you should ask your naturopath and your family physicians about, they are not going to potentially always agree, but it was different things. Like for me, I deal with a very sluggish liver, and my liver hasn't been able to process and cleanse out the synthetic hormones that I've taken for years in terms of birth control. And so before we went on the IUI cycle, I was taking a liver sap by NFH, and that was prescribed to me based on my blood work. I also started taking a prenatal. So I believe any naturopath will recommend starting to take a prenatal when you're ready to start conceiving, because the prenatal will help ensure the health of the egg. And so I was taking prenatal sap by NFH, and I took 3 capsules a day, 2 with breakfast and 1 with lunch. And then I stayed on that throughout the entire pregnancy and even into 4th trimester while breastfeeding. I was also taking inositol caps. I would look into these, take a look at whether those would support you. And then I was also taking PMS sac to help support my cycle. So that all being said, you know, work with an acupuncturist and do things throughout this time that you love. I think that's most important.
All right. So 2 more tips and tricks that I wanted to cover was, I alluded at the beginning of the episode about being careful about who you work with in terms of naturopaths. And the reason for that is the naturopath that I had chosen to work with leading up to our conception of the twins, I actually stopped working with her the month that we decided to do IUI. And this is the reason why. When I told her that we weren't able to conceive naturally and we were going to do IUI with the fertility clinic, she told me to stop taking every single supplement that I was on. And that intuitively did not seem right, because many of the supplements that I was taking wasn't only to support my fertility health, but was to support my health living with MS. So I'm on, you know, vitamin D because I have a deficiency. I'm on NAC because it produces glutathione, which is an amazing antioxidant in the body. I take cognitive support, such as Alcar and coenzyme Q10 and magnesium, to help relax at night and for sore muscles. And it just didn't seem right to stop taking those. Like, why wouldn't those also support my health in addition to taking a really great prenatal? When I reached out to my former naturopath who worked with me throughout the entire pregnancy and beyond, who has been there since the beginning of my MS journey, you've heard her now twice in the episode, she said, that's ridiculous. Don't stop taking everything. Here are the ones that you stop taking, specifically the liver sap and the inositol and the PMS one. Still take your prenatal and then everything that you're on for MS, it's fine. We rejigged things throughout, like things changed throughout the pregnancy and postpartum. But that's what a really great naturopath will do, is they'll work with you. And again, always reviewing your blood work. And so for a naturopath to tell me to stop taking everything, that just didn't seem right. So
go for a second opinion. Throughout your entire journey, always go for a second opinion if you want to better understand it, maybe educate yourself a little bit more and understand that like one person may not know everything. And then the second thing is I keep alluding and saying, go to acupuncture. So I have a quick funny story for you. The month that we did the IUI, the acupuncturist that I had been seeing was one, the naturopath. And so I stopped seeing her. And another acupuncturist that I was quite familiar with stopped seeing patients for a while. And I was at a loss. So I reached out to a clinic that was super close to where I was working. And I was easily able to book appointments after work. And it was like an old school Chinese practitioner who barely spoke English and was very short and blunt, had no like nice bedside manners, like didn't want to chat, just like wanted to put the needles in, let you relax, come back, take them out, and you know, you go about your business. And I remember the first time he used, I think they're called moxa sticks. You basically burn the end of them and you extinguish the flame, but it's still smoldering. And you apply that to points and like you use that to increase circulation within the body. I think that's the best way to explain it. And he started doing this on my abdomen without telling me. And I thought he was burning me. And it's the scariest thing. I sat upright on the table and was like, what are you doing? He said, it's to help. And he never explained how it helps. I had to go and look it up afterwards, but, that was very interesting, but I do believe whatever he did, including all of the things that I was doing that month, definitely helped. So if you're in Ottawa and you're seeing, you're in your fertility journey and you want to go see this guy, I will gladly share, the contact information because he was quite good. Okay. So I think I'll leave this episode, here. I hope that this has helped in terms of tips and tricks, maybe something new popped up that you want to try, or just bringing a little bit of hope to your fertility journey. If you're just listening to this out of curiosity, I hope you enjoyed it. If you do have, someone in your life who is in the midst of a fertility journey and you want to share this episode with them, that would be amazing. Otherwise, next week we'll be back with another interview with an amazing fertility series guest, and we'll go from there. Thanks again for supporting this show and have a great rest of your day. Have you downloaded the Work Life Harmony worksheet yet? In this free guide, I walk you through how to optimize 5 key areas of your life so that you can start designing your own work life harmony. So, from nutrition to supplements, sleep, stress management, and reducing your toxic load. I share tips and tricks that get you thinking on how you can optimize your life currently. So I ask you simple questions that just get you to rethink different aspects of your life. I walk you through a prioritization exercise so you can figure out which area of your life you actually want to maybe overhaul or tackle or just make small changes in first. So you can download that over at bit.ly/worklifeharmonyworksheet, all one word, bit.ly/worklifeharmonyworksheet. Thank you for listening to the Alpha Female Podcast. Be sure and visit robinbaldwin.com, that's Robin with a Y, BALDWIN, for access to show notes and other amazing blogs. If you loved this episode of the Alpha Female Podcast, be sure to head on over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and review so more amazing alpha females are able to find this content. It's so very much appreciated that you take this small effort to help this show succeed.